just straight off.
Yeah.
Are you supporting Trump now as the nominee for the Republican Party, or presumptive nominee as they want to look?
I said I would support the Republican nominee, and there's nothing that unites Republicans like Hillary Clinton. So we'll see how I go coming out of the summer, but I've said I intend to support the nominee.
Okay.
That was my first question.
Sorry, Rick.
I mean, at this point, it really does. You know, there's things I don't like, but there's a lot to like. He is attracting and bringing millions of people to the Republican Party that haven't been there in the past. I looked to Nevada at the caucus meetings. 4 years ago, I was a very big supporter of Mitt Romney. I traveled extensively with him. And you look at the vote 4 years ago versus just a couple months ago, Donald Trump prevailed in Nevada, but there were twice as many people voting as there were 4 years ago. And Nevada is one of those states you really have to win come November. So he is attracting millions of new people. I think people are frustrated and they're mad at Washington, D.C., the lack of inaction. They want somebody to come in and help blow the place up. So he fits that bill.
Doesn't that kind of worry you? Because you are part of Washington, D.C. You are part of the government.
I am part of Washington, D.C., but I'm not happy with the way it works either. So to the extent you have somebody who can come in and change the dynamic and try a different tack, hey, I think that's going to be a welcome, certainly more welcome than 8 years of Barack Obama. I mean, it's been awful. It's been terrible.
As chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, mm-hmm. you've been extolled by a Democrat, no less, as being able to work with Democrats and reach compromise. Elijah
Cummings.
Yes. Maryland, whom you took on a tour.
Look, Utah's 3rd congressional district could not be more different than Elijah Cummings' district. He represents inner city Baltimore. And I think the best piece of advice when I first was elected was, you can disagree, just don't be disagreeable. And I probably disagree with him on most every issue, but I get along with him, I respect him, and consequently we get a lot done. And, you know, the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, we've issued more than 200 letters together. And generally, when you get a letter from the Oversight Committee, it's not a thank you note. It's usually something that we're investigating and looking at. Where there's common ground, hey, let's do it. Where we need some compromise, we can do that. But I don't want to sacrifice my principles. I don't think you have to do that. But the framers of our Constitution envisioned a tough, arduous system that required a lot of debate. I'm not afraid of that debate. And you come up with the best decision you can, and if you can move the ball 10 yards down the field, do it. Everything doesn't need to be a touchdown, but I think what's frustrating the American people is when you don't even vote, nothing's happening. That's what's frustrating. So I do get along pretty well with the Democrats, and I think it's a strength. I think it's a real positive.
The level of rancor in Washington, personally, it's my personal opinion, I don't see it improving in a Trump administration. Do you think you'll be willing and able to compromise?
Well, what I do see from afar with Donald Trump is he does know how to do a deal. What I don't see with Barack Obama, I was elected the same time he was, so that's my limited experiences with President Obama. He never came to the table. He never invited members over. Other than criminal justice reform, he was totally disengaged in the whole process. I'd much rather have a president who wants to try some things and wants to work with Congress and is willing to strike a deal and a compromise. That, I think, will be a strength. I would argue a little bit about the rancor is at an all-time high. I think the media reports it more. But if you look back in the early 1800s, there used to be fistfights and all that kind of stuff on the floor of the House. Maybe we should bring that back. That would get ratings on C-SPAN up.
So how would you do in a fight on the floor?
Hey, as long I'm pretty pathetic on leg wrestling, but I eat enough cheeseburgers, I can probably hold my own weight. Yeah, so.
That is wild. Engaged in that with Stephen Colbert.
That was a little impromptu, and he beat me 3 times, and it was a little surprised, kind of embarrassing. But I try to convince people that Stephen Colbert was freakishly strong for a comedian, but nobody's really buying it. So.
I also wanted to ask about possible national monument designation. There's yours, and by extension, maybe even the San Rafael Swell.
Right.
Our backyard.
Right.
What can be done? I mean, that's kind of at the president's whim. And
it is. A monument designation under the Antiquities Act is at the president's whim. I think that demonstrates what's so fundamentally wrong about it. It is patently unfair and disproportionately out of balance. And so we have been working with Rob Bishop as the lead sponsor on this public lands initiative, trying to bring together all parties from energy development and outdoor recreation to cattlemen to the environmentalists, local residents, I mean, you name it, the Navajo Nation down in San Juan County. So we've been trying to bring all those parties together and try to come up with a win-win that's really a bottom-up approach. And, you know, between Carbon County and Emory County, I got to tell you, they've been as active and engaged and involved in this system and this process as anybody. And I think we have a good product. We're not there yet, but we are trying to provide certainty so people can live without the threat of more lawsuits and more monument designation, perhaps in the millions of acres. We met with the White House last week. We met with the Department of Interior recently, county commissioners on a regular basis. It's an ongoing process, but it's still happening. I think it's the only reason that we haven't had a monument designation to date. And the president could change his mind and do it the next day. But I think the only reason we haven't had one is because we've been earnestly working to try to come up with a good, rounded solution.
So when Barack Obama, before he took office, he declared a war on coal. And he's been pretty successful at shutting down a power plant here in Carbon County and putting a lot of coal mines out of business. How can you help reverse the effects of that? Is there legislation that we can introduce to bring back coal production for energy and the resources?
Oh, no doubt. Barack Obama and the Democrats have waged a war on coal. I read a statistic today that 422 coal mines have shut down since he took office, and I think that's part of a concerted effort to do so. I believe in all of the above energy solution. But they need to fight. It needs to be a fair fight. Some of the so-called clean energy doesn't need to be subsidized to the degree that it has been just to make it competitive with coal. You know, we are the Saudi Arabia of coal right here in Utah, and we should be doing a lot more of it. It is much more clean than people give it credit for. The technology has progressed over the decades. And I hope a new administration, certainly this Congress has an appetite, but hopefully a new administration will not use the blunt tool of the EPA and the Department of Interior and the Department of Energy and all those regulatory bodies to try to shut all these coal mines down. We need the energy. We need energy independence. And the world needs our energy. And so it is a top-tier priority. I'm disappointed over the decades in my lifetime. I'm in my 40s, but in my lifetime, we've never had a president who's made energy independence a number one priority for their administration. And it's a shame because we've lost untold number of lives fighting overseas over energy. We've missed the opportunity to create more wealth and jobs here at home. And we're beholden and still in large part to other countries to provide our energy needs, and that's just fundamentally wrong.
I know, worst case scenario, Hillary gets elected to be president. She's already declared
yikes,
that
yikes,
she,
you're scaring me.
I know, me too. And she's already, you know, promised to fight coal.
Uh-huh.
Because it's dirty. Well, how is there legislation or anything that you can do to help curtail or stop that and get control over it?
Well, the Congress has. We've put a lot of limitations on what the EPA can do. We've been fighting everything we possibly can along the way. We did push some permitting along with the Forest Service to be able to expand some mines here locally. That's been a good thing. But we have a big job ahead of us. And job number one is to make sure that Hillary Clinton does not become the next president of the United States. That's the number one thing we could do. Utah's got to do its part. But again, pushing for energy independence and understanding that coal has a rightful and big place in our energy production. Utah, we still do more than 90% of our energy comes from coal. If you want to turn on your lights in Utah, you better hope those coal mines are open and producing. Otherwise, you're not going to be going to have the electricity that you need to run your daily life, whether it's air conditioning your home or turning on lights in your home, whatever it might be. One of the other fights, by the way, just a little side note, it is funny how there's such a big push from the Democrats for these clean vehicle cars. But where do they think the energy to fuel those batteries comes from? It comes from coal.
Fern bushes.
It comes from coal. It's not, we're not going to blow our way out of this with wind. So I like wind. It's great. We can do hydro. We can do a lot of things. But I think the coal has a big part to play in its future, in our future.
Rick talked a little bit about land, and there's a push in the Utah House to present legislation to ask the government to return lands back to Utah, the federal right. lands back to state control. Do you see that progressing on your end, and how?
I see it as a two-track system. I do support the idea that the legislature, the governor, and particularly the attorney general should file a suit to find out what that Enabling Act really did mean. Because as you look on a map, it's pretty clear that every other state had those lands turned back over to the state and made into private property. Then when you start getting to Utah, Nevada, and some of those western states, that's not the case anymore. And we got 70% of our land in state and federal holdings. We have 90%+ in Nevada. Those are ridiculous sums, and something I think is wrong, and you're only going to find out by taking that to court. So I do support that. It's going to cost a few million dollars in legal fees, but I think it's money well spent. And then the second parallel track, if you will, is this public lands initiative. And again, it doesn't solve everybody's problem. It's only 7 of the 29 counties in Utah that are involved. But I do think it is the right way to do things, and it does it will affect literally millions of acres, but in a good, productive way. I just believe in the whole principle that our founding fathers did, which is private property rights. Private property is good, not bad. And one of the other things that I'm fighting personally is to stop acquiring things. Our federal government continues to spend millions of dollars to acquire things that they can't even maintain, that they can't take care of.
It almost looks like there's a power structure back on the Atlantic seaboard. Wealthy people
mm-hmm.
have a lot of power. And they want to hold the western lands in reserve in case they need them.
Right.
But it looks like on the surface, Utah has initiated the lawsuit, as you mentioned, the $14 million legal fees up front to the law firm in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Can we get those fees back if the state prevails? Can the legal fees
well, if the state does prevail, I think the long-term boom for the state will be just overwhelming. We won't even blink an eye. We won't even think about that. But you would think that that would be something you could recover. But in the big scheme of things, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in additional revenue streams and the opportunity for people to grow and expand and cattlemen to expand their businesses. And there's a lot of positives that could come from it. And so I think that would sort out itself. It is interesting when you have these discussions because the overwhelming majority of people, they've never been here. I remember with Elijah Cummings, when he came to visit Utah, we flew to Moab. And the pilot took us down a bit low so we could see over Carbon and Emory County. And I think a lot of people on the East Coast, based on television, think that there's oil and gas that's just spewing out like the Eiffel Tower. And it's just dirtying the land, and it's a mess, and it's ruining the environment. But really, it's about the size of it looks in the air like a fire hydrant. And I remember when we came over Carbon and Emory, I said, look, this is where we're fighting over public lands and wilderness And he looked down there, and he looked back at me, and he looked back down there, and he looked back, and he said, now, if it's wilderness, doesn't that mean it has to have trees? I said, well, that would be part of it. But, you know, there are a lot of people, most of the Congress has never been there. And so that's why it's incumbent upon, you know, those of us that represent the area, Senator Lee, Senator Hatch, myself, Rob Bishop. Mia Love and Chris Stewart have been great on this, too. But our delegation, we're a small state, and we gotta fight at a big level. So.
I don't know if the U.S. has how big this country is out here.
Oh, they have no idea. I mean, we're the geographically, Utah's the 11th largest state. And, you know, I think Emory and San Juan County are each bigger than the size of Connecticut. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So people don't even have a perception of how big that is and how wrong it was when they put in a stoplight down in. They shouldn't have never done that. It still makes me mad that we got a stoplight in Emory, but we'll deal with it.
And in Wellington, too.
Yeah.
It is growing.
Yeah.
Is growth always good?
Not necessarily. You know, it depends on the community. It's hard to make a sweeping generalization. Sure. But just, you know, over my 40-plus years on this earth, you know, our population in the United States has grown by tens of millions of people. And each community's got to plan it out for themselves. But not everything. I don't want to be California. Let me put it that way. I don't want to be California. We have a special way of life. We've got a unique landscape, beautiful scenery, love getting up in the mountains, out in the desert. Utah's got it all. I don't want it to be row-to-row houses where you can jump from roof to roof.
And those of us who live here like it here.
Yeah.
We just want to be able to make a living.
Yeah. That's why jobs in the economy is still, you know, issue number one. Obviously, national security is a major imperative. But just jobs in the economy, there's nothing worse than having your family grow up and then they have to go away because they can't get a job. So I have three kids, my wife and I, and two of them just got married in the last 6 weeks. So I think about that a lot, and I hope they don't have to go somewhere else to get a job. I'd love for them to be able to stay close.
What about water issues? They're sticking a lot of straws in the Colorado River in the entire upper basin, and it's just, it's just not enough. And that limits development.
Well, we do. Look, we're a very arid state, and I think second only to Nevada in terms of how dry we are. So you got to be careful in the growth plans. Out on the western side of the state, we have issues with the so-called big straw, where Nevada wants to suck out the water in the Great Basin area. Down in Utah's 3rd District, particularly Grand County, I'm worried about the Moab tailings cleanup. That's something that has to happen so we don't pollute those types of waters. And the CUP project, you know, that's a big project that needs to go down into southern Utah County and to Juab. So there's a lot of water issues. And we need to be very careful on how we plan those out. Down in the, you know, we had the EPA with the gold mine spill that they created, the EPA, and contaminated that San Juan River. It was really problematic. Really problematic. Hey, Governor. Oh, yes, it's your turn.
No.
Yes, no, we've been chatting for a while.
Have you?
Oh, yeah.
How are you doing?
Good to see you, Governor.
Yeah, how are you doing? Hey, congratulations again.
Thank you. I said I had two weddings in the last. I had a wedding on Tuesday, and the governor was kind enough to stop by say hi to our daughter who got married.
So yeah.
It was very kind.
Beautiful daughter, too.
Thank you.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Oh, you got enough for our lunch. Thank you. Good to see you. All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Shake your hand. I'll do it again.
I know.
All right. Well, I don't, what's the format here?
Just asking questions.
Okay. Do I need this on or just speak into it?
Speak into it right now.
Okay.
We're
all right.
Recording right now for the radio, and then Rick and Chance are with different newspapers.
Okay.
Jordan and I are with the local radio station. Met you over at the Emory County.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, sorry. He's telling me I'm not close enough to my microphone. They don't let me near a microphone all the times. And Rick can testify to that because they never know what I'm going to say. So,
Well, we always have to be careful, you know, what we say.
Correct, correct. I don't know if you want to start off, Rick. I started off the last one.
Okay, sure, yeah. I just wanted to point out, and I'm sure you're aware, that you started your political career at the county commission level.
I sure did.
Harding County now has 3 Republican county commissioners. Who would have thunk it?
You know, when I was a county commissioner, I was elected in 1990. There was no Republicans here in Carbon County. We saw Emory County start to change, you know, in the mid-90s and became more Republican. And we thought, can Carbon County be far behind? And as we see what's happened here recently, there certainly has been a change and more Republicans here in Carbon County. And really, the Republicans are the ones that are kind of fighting for coal and natural resource development. So there's probably a natural turn of events here because of our willingness to, in fact, develop our natural resources. Seems to be more of a conservative issue here in Utah than a liberal issue. And so I think that's part of it.
And I asked Congressman Chaffetz, I'd like to hear your position and your prediction of the possible Bears Ears and maybe even Salmon Fell.
Well, it's interesting. I just talked to Valerie Jarrett on the phone here just the day before yesterday. And she's a special assistant to President Obama and good friends with President Obama and Michelle. And I told her that, look, let's not have another Clinton episode where the governor finds out by reading the New York Times that there's a new national monument. And she assured me that would never happen. This is not the Clinton administration, she said. And she also says, I come from local government. I know how important it is, to, in fact, to work with the local communities on these kinds of things and get their input. So I feel at least comfortable that there's going to be at least some opportunity for local input and consideration and discussion. I think Congressman Bishop and Congressman Chaffetz has got a good public land initiative, which, as I explained to her, and I talked with Secretary of Interior Sally Jewell here just a few days ago also, if you really care about preserving the Bears Ears, which is kind of a new thing. This has only been talked about in the last 2 or 3 years. I've been involved in the public land issue since 1995, and so I understand the issue probably as well as many back in my county commission days. But if you want to really preserve the Bears Ears, we have an opportunity to have done legislatively, which will give better protection, more access for the Native Americans. They're talking about on a national monument 1.8, 1.9 million acres. The PLI has 1.2 million acres. And what the local community down there, led by Commissioner Benally, who's represents the Navajo Nation, they only want to have 800,000 acres. So if we're just arguing over size and amount of acres, we can probably figure that out. But let's not trash can the entire 18-million-acre proposal for the sake of one national monument. I think that would be very short-sighted on the president's part. As I mentioned to, again, Secretary of Interior Sally Jewell, we can do 1.9 million acres or we can do 18 million acres. We can add 301 miles of stream bed access, which the president can't do. We can add, you know, near 20,000 acres of buffer around arches. We can do a lot of better things. It's a 4-to-1 ratio of conservation. So if you really care about the landscape, if you really care about conservation, do not do the National Monument and throw out the window 3 years of hard work by our congressional delegation.
Back to land, energy ties right in that. And this is coal country. There's been the war on coal. There seems to be now a new war on the power plants from people in the Salt Lake Valley. They're saying that the power plants in Carbon Emory County are polluting the air in the Salt Lake Valley. How do we fortify what we have so that our economy stays and we can add to it?
Well, 82%, approximately, between 78 and 82% of all of our electrical production in Utah is fueled by coal. To eliminate coal, you know, would be foolish. Our cost of energy would go up dramatically. There is not a replacement out there. I expect we see some transitioning from coal to natural gas, still a carbon-based fuel. And I expect those will be the main fuel, the base load for electrical generation for a generation to come. The greener fuels, as we so-called describe them, don't have the technology or the capability to produce the power we need as a country without dramatically increasing the cost. I mean, 4 or 5 times per kilowatt hour. So I'll say it this way, carbon-based fuels and or nuclear power will be the base load of energy generation in this country for the next generation to come and maybe longer. Certainly here in Utah, one of the reasons we're having great economic success, according to Forbes magazine, is we have a lower than the national average cost of power, mainly because we have coal. And if you're going to burn coal, it ought to be Utah coal, which is high BTU, it burns hot, but has low sulfur content, it burns clean. It's a lot cleaner burning coal, and if you go to our power plants, go to any of them, the opacity, I mean, it's on a blue sky, you don't see anything coming out of the stacks. We've cleaned up the production of energy using coal dramatically. And I can tell you, I do not like what I've heard out of Hillary Clinton's mouth when it says, we're going to close down coal mines and put coal miners out of work. Not on my watch, they're not going to, not here in Utah. And I am in a position of having some say about this as the chairman of the National Governors Association, because my good friends like Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, a Democrat, the Earl Ray Tomlin, the Democrat governor of West Virginia, both states have a lot of coal that they're trying to sell. They don't like this war on coal either and the war on our power plants. So I think in a bipartisan way we can push back against this federal overreach. And frankly, some of it is not based on science. The idea that we have somehow are getting pollution up in the Salt Lake Valley out of Castledale in Emory County is probably pretty foolish.
Can we just get to address the coal port briefly?
Sure.
Stands?
Yeah, one last question.
Yeah. Commissioner Chairman Potter has really gone to work.
Yes. Again, if we're going to burn coal in this world, it ought to be Utah coal. As I've said, it's cleaner burning coal, and it's certainly a legal product. And yet we find out on what we call, kindly, the left coast in California, Oregon, and Washington, we're not allowed to ship it out of their ports. And that's not right. That's a violation of federal commerce laws. And yet it's making it difficult for not only Utah but Wyoming and other states to ship legal product, coal, to other parts of the world that has a demand for it. So, again, our folks here, our county commissioners and here in Carbon County and others, are part of our CIB monies that comes from our mineral lease money, it's money generated out of our natural resource development, have said, hey, we have an opportunity to make a deal with this Oakland plant and have some ownership interest so we can control our own destiny and make sure that not only coal but other products, that the natural resources we want to ship out of that port, are available to be shipped. And so, again, I think it's a smart decision on their part. There is no taxpayers' dollars at risk, by the way, on this. This is money that would go to the counties for their own use. They've said collectively, let's see if we can, in fact, use it to open up a coal port. Now, I say it gives us an opportunity to make a deal. There is no deal. But having this money set aside, the $50 million, allows us to go out and negotiate and see if we can't strike a deal that is, in fact, favorable to our interests as Utahns, economically, particularly for our coal-producing counties. If we can do that, great, let's move ahead. If we can't get the right deal, then we're no worse off than we were before. But this is wise and prudent. We already have other states like Wyoming. We say, I hope you do it because we want to access your port and export our coal and other natural resources too. So I'm optimistic. It hasn't happened. But sometime throughout this summer, we'll find out whether we have an opportunity to make a deal.
Thank you, Governor.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Governor.
All right. We'll see you later. Thank you.